Welcome to the Faith-Based Business Podcast with your host, Pastor Bob Thibodeau. On this podcast, we interview fellow entrepreneurs who are willing to share their stories, their trials, and their triumphs in business, all in an effort to help you avoid the same obstacles and to achieve success faster. But at all times, continue to rely on our faith to see us through to victory. Now, with today's guest, here is your host, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Faith-Based Business Podcast. We are so blessed that you are joining us today. Our good friend, Dr. Richard Ruling, is back with us today, and we're going to be talking about here at the time of this recording. We're coming up on the 4th of July weekend, the 250th celebration of freedom in America. Amen. Praise the Lord. And what better way to talk about freedom where, you know, a lot of people will have a discussion of, oh, you get to do what you want, when you want, where you want, how you want to do it. But that's not what true freedom is. There's a lot of people that are free today, but they're still in bondage, and it's bondage in health, bondage in their life circumstances, but yet they're quote unquote free to do what they want. And a lot of them try to do that. But Dr. Ruling is here today to give us a new perspective, not a new perspective, but bringing back us, but back us back to reality of what a true perspective would look like. All right. So with that being said, help me welcome back to the program our good friend, Dr. Richard Ruling. Dr. Ruling, it is a blessing to talk with you again today, my brother.
Well, it's mutual. I love your heart. I love your enthusiasm, which, by the way, means God is in you, and theology is God. He's in you. And I appreciate you as much as any host that I talk with, Christian and oriented. And it's how we spend our time in life. This is really slightly aside from this, but the best definition of success in life that I have found is the progressive realization of a worthy goal. And, you know, some people have no goal. They just want to live the day, you know, but that's nowhere, you know, if you have a goal, you can score daily toward something that's worthwhile. And of course, serving God is that way, but, and freedom from, defiling habits and so on. Surely that, you know, our body is God's temple, and what are we doing with it basically? And so, I just say, thank you for this opportunity and looking forward to sharing in this time we have.
Yeah, amen. You know, in my teaching this past Sunday, I talked about the glory cloud and how a lot of people will just refer to that as, you know, what used to be in the temple. Well, Jesus says used to be because now he's in us and he is the glory, you know.
Hallelujah.
And a lot of people don't realize that our bodies are the temple. The where Jesus is at. And sometimes you got to think about, you know, am I doing something right now that's bringing honor and glory to who dwells in me or not? And with that, I'll let you take it.
Well, and, you know, that's also an aside slightly. And hey, I'm seeing something huge, I think, that comes from the 4th of July and day afterwards. If you were to go to in the Bible, there is what is called, I call it this, the 9/11 Passover, because it's in Numbers 9, verse 10 and 11. Yeah. There is a provision. If a man, an Israelite, took a long trip, couldn't get back in time for Passover in April, he was not excused. He was to keep it a month later. That's in Hebrew. That's in Numbers 9, verse 10 and 11, 9/11. And you always count to Pentecost from Passover. So if you count from May, it turns out that this coming Saturday is Pentecost, okay? The day after freedom, okay? Yeah. And I am halfway wanting to believe that sometime this week or on that day, which is a Pentecost, is a memorial of the original Pentecost when God came down on the mountain. That was Pentecost, 50 days after Egypt. And the mountain shook, okay, earthquake, and if there's a huge earthquake where God judges America for its false types of freedoms, you know, as well, worldwide, I believe God, at some point, God is going to shake the heavens and the earth. That's in Haggai 2. And it gives you a date for the foundation of the temple, which you were just talking about. People are God's temple today, not a third temple to kill lambs. And so right. I don't think God's going to let them build another temple to kill lambs. I believe there's going to be an earthquake interfering with the Jews and their problem, you know, because really they failed to count the 70s. But from this past Pentecost, this coming Saturday, would be 70 weeks to the date given in that chapter. Haggai 2 verses 10, 18, and 20 is a date. That is the ninth month, 24th day. But if you're counting 70 weeks from this Saturday, you end up at that date. You know,
amen.
So that's potentially huge too. Also, that's a little Bible gem, and we'll talk more about that. But I want to talk about. I'll let you interact on that first if you want. But just
go
ahead.
The that date, I have wrote down in my Bible. I read that scripture. On uh-huh. September 24th, 1992, you know, I read, wow, that's today. And I wrote it down in the top. Like I first read this on this date, just happened to be there, you know? And, but at the same time, you know, there's a lot happening right now in the Middle East. And, you know, I mean, now they're talking about the peace, but what does the Bible say about when they say peace, peace, you know, that's when you got to be on the lookout. Because things just don't always line up the way man wants them to proceed. But I know we're talking about, you know, nutrition and all that as part of preparing our bodies for what's coming. And so I'm going to let you take the lead on that, and we can talk about the tie-in between the 4th of July and what how can I say this in a nice way? A lot of people will not be worried about what they're putting in their bodies on the 4th of July.
Okay, you're right. And we can come back to the spiritual things later. If there is something big this week, we'll do it later. But for right now, let's talk about addictions. And it was my privilege to help in a stop smoking program at the University of Arizona. When I was in internal medicine training, we had about 150 people in the course, free program to learn how to quit smoking in 5 days. But these principles apply not just to smoking, but to alcohol, tobacco. Food. People are addicted to food and to sex yeah. and to other things. So we want to break these addictions because we really want to be free in Christ. And my point would be, that if I could offer you or anybody $1 million to quit smoking or drinking or some of these things, when it's really, we would probably find a way to get it done. $1 million is high incentive, you know, but my point is our bodies are God's temple. We want to do it for his sake. And there's a point at which a person, if they had $1 million, they would give it to be able to get off of smoking, because the Marlboro country, when I took internal medicine, was a ward in which people sat around with a little tube in their nose breathing oxygen because they could hardly breathe at night. And their last couple months of life are not good, you know, gasping for breath and so on.
And let me interrupt there, including the Marlboro man.
Yeah,
figure of a cowboy, he died
yes.
with that.
Right. Good point. So, and it's not just lung disease with smoking. It is heart attack. Smoking is a major risk for because it narrows the coronaries of the arteries, and they plug up quicker with cholesterol. Nicotine. And because they get narrow, they also increase your blood pressure. A lot of stuff is interrelated in the body, and so yes. So my point, though, is on a motive, figure that God is going to reward us, and it's more than $1 million if we can live well. But if we destroy his temple, it's not a good for our destiny, you know, basically. So that's, you know, it says your body is God's temple, and 1 Corinthians 3 and also and 1 Corinthians 6, I think it's the last verses of that chapter, and verse 10:31, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is loaded with three texts on God's, our body is God's temple. Amen. Anyway, so we need a motive, and what can we do better than to be 100% for him and free from major... when I was taking internal medicine, I was, one of my rotations was on a psych ward where people came for drug abuse. And as somebody said, it's like a monkey on your back. If you have to do drugs and you have to score every day, you get a new fix. You know, that's bondage too. I can be hyped with what I think about God and what he wants to do. And our daily, if we have a daily goal to serve God some way that fits in with a larger goal, I think that's key. And
amen.
We are both, you and I are doing that. And thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, when you're talking about addictions, addictions are, another word is habit. Right. And habits can be broken by doing something else to replace the habit that you want to replace. So how can they do that with these physical addictions, you know, the drugs and things like that?
Okay, good question. And the difference between an addiction and a habit is, like you say, some things are just a habit where we sit in a, after we have a smoke, after breakfast, we sit in a certain chair and we smoke. The certain chair is a habit. I just go to that chair. Everything people do now in this coming week to break their habits will increase their intention to break the addiction. But the addiction actually has, we have built up a tolerance to nicotine that is in our system. And when we don't get our usual fix, we start getting symptoms, you know, and so it's really a physical, a physiological withdrawal from this tolerance phenomena. And right now, I want to suggest that if people will, in hearing our in discussion, decide that, yes, 4th of July is going to be quit day. Okay, that's the day. But in my mind, I want to prepare myself psychologically for that. And if they would just plan to smoke about half of what they usually smoke for the next few days, because it will lower the amount of nicotine in their system that they're going to withdraw from. And most people can get along with fewer. They just, you know, it's only under real stress they got. And we're going to have some tips here, because when if a person has a craving to smoke or drink or do something like this, it's kind of short-term physiologic. You know, it's like if I just before this program, if I had a need to go to the bathroom, I could say, no, I don't have time right now. I got to log into Robert here and be there. I could say no, and I can wait the half hour, you know, and that craving will leave me. I don't even feel the urge right now to go. That's an illustration of the fact that we can stall off these urges or cravings as well, and have something physiologic to do that will reduce it. And my example is repeat your decision. You know, I've chosen not to smoke. God help me. You know, and by the way, there are some major organizations like AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, or Overeaters Anonymous, who have a key to it. When they their 12 steps, they say that we, our lives have become unmanageable. We're powerless over alcohol, and so we turn our lives over to God as we understand Him to help us. And yes, with God's help, we can do anything. My mother said, two can do anything if one of them is God, you know. And so yes, amen. Align with God and ask Him to help. I heard the founders of this five-day program, who had been even to Russia, where there are communists. Communists don't believe in God. But one guy reported his how he quit. When he got a craving, he ran into the bathroom and said, God, if you're there, help me. And God helped him. The founder asked him, what happened? He said, no more craving, you know, when he appealed to God. Well, God doesn't do that for everybody. We've made choices that we need to somehow tough it out. But we can do it for 5 days, and we can be over the hump. I think of the five fingers, and one is the first day is bad, second day is worse, Third day is the peak, but fourth day is a little better. And fifth night, when we ask the people, how many of you have not smoked in the past 24 hours? Over 100 people had not done so. Okay. Now that's huge. And so this is not about tapering and cutting down. We're going to taper right now, cut it in half, but comes Friday, which is the 4th of July, and even the night before in the Bible, the night before is the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. The evening, it says that six times in Genesis 1, first page of your Bible. So we prepare for the day in the night before and get a good sleep that night. Go out for a walk maybe and take a warm bath to relax your nerves and so on. Get a good sleep and then wake up in the morning. And by the way, I did this program in a little city called Southwest City, Missouri, and the mayor of the town came and went through it. He says, Doc, I've tried many times, but this is the easiest I've ever found to do it. And the reason is that it's physiologically designed to help people who are addicted. And more specifically, we all know the word nicotine, which calms us down and soothes our nerves. And we think of that cigarette as a good friend, but it's really an enemy. And you got to kick it out the door this coming week, you know. But the point is that nicotine is an alkaloid very similar to another alkaloid, caffeine. And caffeine gears the nerves up and wakes us up, and we feel great for the day, you know. Yeah. But the problem is that together, they keep you in balance. And if you try to get rid of the nicotine and your nerves are going out the roof, hey, it's big trouble. You need a smoke, you see. And people during this coming week, I appeal to people, do not drink alcohol because it affects your frontal lobes of your mind, where your choice, your willpower is, where God's temple is in his mind. Do not use alcohol and do not use caffeine because it jeopardizes your freedom. And really, to be honest with you, I wish I had a $10 or $20 bill for everybody I've seen in my life who wanted a prescription for their nerves. They're nervous. It's for one reason or other, they don't know, but they're anxious. They can't sleep at night, maybe. I start with the head actually has several problems with caffeine and nervous caffeine, coffee nerves, jitters that way. But problem sleeping, even if you only drink it in the morning and don't drink in the afternoon, your sleep is not as good as people who don't drink it at all, basically. And also, drug companies are pretty smart to this. If you get a headache on withdrawal from the caffeine, you can cure it easily with either Excedrin or Anacin. Why? Because it has caffeine in there. It's like taking a dose of your caffeine, and you're not free at that point. So do not use Excedrin, Anacin. Use simple, plain Tylenol, which is Excedrin without the Tylenol, or aspirin, which is aspirin without the caffeine as well.
Caffeine.
Yeah.
Amen.
And
amen.
So I'm just going to cement this in a little bit more, quickly telling you other things. There's about a dozen problems, health problems, that come from caffeine. My daughter got breast lumps. She's an RN working the night shift because she couldn't stay awake without drinking Cokes. Well, she wasn't brought up to do that at home, but that's how she stayed awake, but got breast lumps. Her doctor said, quit the Cokes, and sure enough, they went away, okay? Amen. The lumps did. They may not for everybody, but fibrocystic breast disease is the most common reason for surgery on the breast because when women get a bump, best way to find it out is to get biopsy. You have to operate, look at it under the microscope. Well, that, you know, that's not a very good deal. Quit those breast lump things. And by the way, that's also a risk factor for breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And when I took a year of cardiology in preparatory for what I was going to do, and it was not allowed in the coronary care unit, coffee wasn't, because in the context of a heart attack, it could trigger a fatal arrhythmia. It gives you extra heartbeats. We call it PVCs, premature ventricular contractions. And that could trigger an arrhythmia. Coffee lowers the threshold for this fatal arrhythmia. So it's not good. But the worst thing, I got to get to it, is a major study, New England Journal of Medicine, which is a leading medical journal, lead article in March 12, 1980 or 81, I can't remember which year, strong link between cancer of the pancreas and caffeine. Coffee drink. Okay. Yeah. So huge. And so some of these people that we hear about in the past year, you know, that died of cancer of the pancreas, you know, the Apple CEO and others, Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy, died of cancer of the pancreas. Hey, I have to say, if I could have talked with them, it's a little late then when you get it. Cancer of the pancreas is really even within a month or two, people can die from that. When they get back pain, but it's a late diagnosis. So anyway, break all the addictions, and it includes that. And in my opinion, don't go back to them after you quit. But you can quit coffee, cigarettes easier by quitting the coffee and the alcohol same time. Then you're really free, and that's what I would suggest as a thing to for going forward. So have a strategy where when you get a craving, repeat your choice. I've chosen, God help me, I've chosen to quit smoking. He will help you. Stall for time to stall this craving off. It will get, in a few minutes, it will lower. And during that 3 minutes, go for a short walk maybe. If you're working, go down the hallway to a drinking fountain. If you're at home, go out to the mailbox or around the block. Just get it off your mind. Don't sit in that chair where you usually smoke, and especially after a meal. Break your habit patterns, and they will because everything you do to break the habit patterns is strengthening your will to quit. And you can be quit and over the hump in 5 days. And that's it. But what we eat is also a key to, and important, because if you eat so much that the blood goes from your brain to your stomach, to you can eat so much. I can remember after a Thanksgiving meal laying out on the floor at home as a kid. Okay, just I couldn't even, you know, I was zonked out because of so much food. People can do that. Don't do it. Yep. Just eat less. In fact, I know a woman physician, pathologist, who said, if you're serious about quitting, fast for the first day. Fasting increases your willpower, and your body is freer to detox if it's not loaded with food. I would say also, if you don't want to go completely that way, eat fruit or drink fruit juices to detox, you know, and get that nicotine out of your system quickly. And part of detox, by the way, I would say, I would usually avoid a drugstore, but they have one ingredient, or a health food store have one ingredient that they a product that is worth your buying. And every home medicine cupboard ought to have this, in my opinion. It is charcoal tablets or capsules, because they are not a drug. They are a natural product. But I define drugs as chemicals put together in the you know, chemistry. But the body recognizes drugs, which are made chemically, as different from foods that we eat. In fact, one cardiologist that I met one time said his recipe for people is if it grows out of the ground, you can eat it. But if it's put together somewhere else, don't do that. You know, basically. Amen. And I say, yeah, it's true. So stall for time. Repeat your choice. Pray. Call a buddy if you need to, somebody that doesn't smoke, someone that would be happy that if you quit, and just ask him how the day is going, and he'll ask you, and you can say, well, I'm really struggling, pray with me or whatever. That can work too, you know. And so I would just say, stalling for time for a few minutes, you'll find that that craving will weaken. And for that reason, do not have any cigarettes around. Burn your bridges. Right. Don't have a pack in the bottom drawer somewhere that you could get if you really need it. Don't buy any more cigarettes. We're looking forward to quitting. Don't get another pack. And and you might even give the carton away to somebody that does smoke and say, if I'm successful, you'll want to listen to me later or something.
But, amen. I remember I never got into smoking or anything like that. My wife smoked when I met her. And, she decided, 19, I think she said, 1986 is when she quit. And, you know, and oh, Lord have mercy. She was not a pleasant person, you know.
Right.
And,
right.
And it got so bad, I went and bought a pack of cigarettes and was like, here, you know. and that just made it worse.
Yeah, it did.
But she was determined. She was going to quit. And yeah. I was getting ready to be deployed for about 3 weeks, right? Uh-huh. And I just told my daughter, my oldest daughter at the time was 12. I was like, good luck. See ya. But when I came back, it was all over with.
Hallelujah.
So I didn't have to deal with the boy, the kids did.
Yeah. Well, if we do it right, it can be only a few days and we're over the hump, and people can see that they can do that on and on. You know, if we do these other things, some people that quit end up going back to smoking, but I think it's because they go back to drinking some alcohol or caffeine or so on, and it triggers that along with other stresses. You lose your job or something, crisis comes up. Oh, I just want one smoke. Well, one smoke is a whole habit. Do not do the one. Yeah. This is not a taper thing. It's completely quit cold turkey, as they say, starting Friday. But in the meantime, just do half and make the decision firm that this is going to be it. If you say, I'm going to quit even if it kills me, I guarantee we have never had anybody die. God will bless you as you're quitting. You will not die in the quitting process, and he wants you free. So anyway,
that's... Well, when it comes to alcohol, I said I was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I wasn't a declared alcoholic, but looking back, I was an alcoholic. And, you know, when I quit, I didn't quit on purpose. I didn't even know I had quit because God had just removed it from me.
And, amen. Amen. And,
I mean, it was in November of 1995, and I was sitting there, you know, my wife and I watching TV, and this is, I don't have anything to drink. I think I'm going to go down and buy a bottle of whiskey. And, you know, my relaxation drink was a double shot Jim Beam and Coke. I was just, you know, that was just what it was. And so I didn't have any, so I'm going to go down and get some. I'm down there looking at it. I don't really want it. I'll just buy the little, you know, half pint bottle. And it's like two drinks for me, right?
Yeah.
And so that'll be enough for tonight. So went home, poured one drink, drank about half that cup. Like, I'm just going to go to bed.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
6 months later, we had a leak underneath the sink. So I'm pulling everything out so I get out and tighten up. And here's that half pint bottle.
Yeah.
And it hit me. I haven't had a drink in 6 months.
Hallelujah.
Didn't even know it.
Yeah.
And then that bottle started talking to me.
Right.
You know? And I said, nope. Down the drain it went. And that was it. And that never, it can't, the urge came back one time, and that was, 2022, something like that, 21, maybe 2020. And, family and I went out to one of these restaurants, you know, and we had to wait. Right. Well, there's a nice little shopping area out, you know, they call it the Avenue. It's the old fashioned shopping, you know, up and down the main street type thing. And so all the girls wanted to go window shopping. You know, well, you know, we had about a 40-minute wait, they said. And my son-in-law and I, we went over to where the bar was, and, you know, it's the mahogany and all that. And I put my arm up on the bar, and the smell, the clinking of the glasses. All I ordered was a Coke, but now I'm in that atmosphere, and that spirit came back, right?
Wow.
And I recognized it. I mean, boom, right off. And
good.
I just set it down. I told my son-in-law, I'm going to go walk with the girls. I got to get out of here.
Amen. Amen. So, hallelujah.
Now, that's the only time it came back in all those years.
So. I want to, before we have to quit, say that I have a website where I put this information on we've talked about, and it would help most people. It's, you know, there's a forgetting curve, and tonight or tomorrow, you'll only remember half of what you heard today. And by the end of the week, you'll forget the other half of what's left will be gone. And so we don't want that. This is important information for everybody that's getting it. You know somebody, and hey, you know somebody, even if you don't, that have a bad habit or addiction, you know somebody that ought to have it. And so go to my website, and it is newsforliving.wordpress.com. Now, if you write it down, because you won't remember this, and the devil wants you to forget it.
I'll put the link in the show notes,
too. Oh, that's great. Okay, news and the number four, news for living. The number four, though. newsforliving.wordpress.com. And it has these things that we've talked about pretty well outlined, about 10 different things you want to look at and remember. And look at them daily, pray daily over them, starting on the eve of the 4th of July, but maybe even tomorrow.
Maybe soon.
So that will be helpful, I believe. And God bless you. And this is not about selling something this time. It's about, it's about
getting the information out there.
Yeah,
Amen. Praise God. Folks, I hope you paid attention to this and were taking notes. You know, news, the number four, living.wordpress.com. And the link will be down in the show notes below. But this information can save your life.
Amen.
If not your life, someone you care about's life.
Yes.
Because there are people hooked on things that you don't even know about. I mean, they do such a great job of disguising it. A lot of times, they think nobody knows, but other people already know. You know, be honest about it.
Yes.
Someone says, I don't have a food addiction, but by looking at them, you can tell they're addicted to it. And, they can't get enough. And go ahead.
As a physician, I have examined many people, and I can tell from their breath. You know, just getting close to them, tobacco's on. That's a peculiar, et cetera. So
that's right.
It ruins the whole life, really. But that's an example. Hey, I love your heart. I thank you for this time, and God bless you. And as we share freedom with others, part of the freedom that we have to share is physical laws of health that will give us freedom.
That's right.
Fresh air, sunshine, exercise, good sleep. Hey, one last tip. If you can't wake up without a cup of coffee in the morning, try this. Go to bed early after a nice walk, relax, and so on, and take a hot shower, but finish with cold water at the end. Just cut the hot off first, and it's cold water. About half a minute or 20 seconds, 15 seconds, that actually will help you greatly, greatly to wake up with the right kind of juices in your system, okay? Not caffeine, but hormones that will help you cope with stress, and it will actually build your white blood count and immunity. Your white count is doubled after a hot and cold treatment like that. Wow. The soldier cells come out. I have done this most of my life. I'm 83 and in great health. And when I take a shower, I make it a policy, always end with cold water,
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. There you go, folks. That was the little P.S. on the end. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Dr. Richard Ruley, myself, is Pastor Bob, reminding you to be blessed in all that you do. Drop down the show notes. Click that link right there.
You have been listening to the Faith-Based Business Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. We appreciate you as a listener and fellow believer and want to encourage you in your entrepreneurial efforts. These programs are designed to provide you with information that you can use in your business to achieve success faster and avoid the obstacles that try to impede your success. All information on this podcast is for entertainment and information use only. Some of the products and services listed in the links may contain affiliate links, and Pastor Bob will earn a small commission when you click those links at no additional cost to you. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you'll be notified when our next episode is published. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.